What's going on? Mike Lawrence there behind the virtual glass with the epic countdown for sure. A shout out to him. But anyway, we're going to start this. It's DraftKings Rainmakers, friends. Hit that like button, subscribe button, notification bell as we get going. Going to be talking a really cool product over at DraftKings like we do every single Tuesday. And normally, I'm joined alongside Greg Ehrenberg. And in the PGA streets, I'm generally going to be the one who's the analyst. And then for the UFC streets, he's generally going to be the one who's analyst. And I'll be hosting for those. But I get to host the PGA this time around because I got my buddy Jeff Ulrich here on staff. Let's go, my guy. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, no, happy to join in. Like you said, I mean, going over the Rainmakers product and kind of a crazy week in Mexico. I mean, I'm about these weaker field tournaments. I like it. A little crazy with Rom and how big a favorite he is. But man, yeah, excited to fill in for Greg for a week.
Well, yeah, as you should, because Greg's he's mean to me, and I'm tired of it.
He's got a real attitude, doesn't he, that kid?
He does. I mean,
like, for real.
Egotistical, talks about me on every single show that I'm not on, is what I'm hearing. I have those little birds. I'm like Littlefinger. I get all the whispers, and I know chaos is a ladder. A little bit of that. Do you watch any of the Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I mean, I've read all the books too, and I thought it was really good up until the last season when it just turned into a big pile of
dog doo-doo, for sure. It was a sellout, and there were amazing parts, the early parts of the season. I mean, the whole white the Ice King doing the whole thing there, that was fantastic. But otherwise, my dear God,
the story just disintegrated
into absolute mush. But what did not disintegrate is this fabulous product that we have over here at DraftKings. It is called Rainmakers. We are doing the PGA Tour edition here today on today's show. Looking forward to it, talking the Mexico Open. We have an interesting spot here on top. Hang on. Was that my mic? Was that your mic?
No, that was me. Sure. That was me.
Oh, well, it's okay. I like robots. So, all right. We're all set to go. Just wanted to double check as we were getting started here, but very much looking forward to you guys signing up, getting that starter pack that you have below. You get 8 golfers completely free. So take advantage of that in the link below. Get those 8 golfers. There's a starter only contest. So you could enter this week's contest for a grand total of $0. In the event that you have players who are not active for this week and you can't round out a lineup, there is a craft and burn section. You can take advantage of it. But if you're starting your packs this week, if you're playing this week, and you are not getting John Rahm as your starter pack, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Let's just go right headfirst into this one here as we talk about the Mexico Open. Pretty at Vedanta, if you will. Greg Norman design, which I find ironic and fantastic. Par 71, generally going to be playing 73. It is long, but it is wide open. It is a bomber's paradise, as some would call it. And therefore, guys like John Rahm, who, I don't know, won this event here last year, how are we kind of looking at this board with John Rahm inside of plus 300 at DraftKings Sportsbook? I mean, we just kind of click his name, right?
I mean, I don't... for fantasy purposes, I mean, he's going to be obscenely highly owned, which always just... You know, the voice inside my head always just said, oh, it's a great spot to fade, Jeff. You know, like, you know, think of all the think of all the people that are going to bust their lineups when John Rahm doesn't do well. But, I mean, John Rahm's not going to... not do well. He's John Rahm, and he's plus 260 to win this tournament. So certainly I will have a non-John Rahm lineup or two, but I also expect those lineups will probably be dead by Sunday because John Rahm will probably be in the top 10. So yeah, it's crazy. I don't think since the Tiger, I don't remember a player in a single stroke play event being this short from when I have started doing this and betting golf and stuff. So crazy to see, but yeah, I mean, I just think you have to click him. I think Finau too is interesting. I mean, there's ideas that maybe you start with both guys and then you try and work down from there. Maybe give you a little bit more of a unique build. But like you said, for a Rainmakers product, if you are new to it this week, guys, just take the easy out here. Just take John Rahm. Don't get fancy. Use him. This is you're just not going to have this spot again this year when he's this big a favorite. So.
His top 5 odds are minus 150. Top 5 odds, minus 150 in a sport like golf. That is silly. And we have the PGA Tour projections here over at Stochastic as well. His top player probability is 31.3%. Let's compare that to just about any other week. The Masters, Scottie Scheffler was sitting around 15%. We had, you know, nobody else that's been even remotely close to over 30%. He is just the class of this field. And then Tony Finau right below him. I feel like he's kind of a side piece that you want to have along for the ride. If you were to build a golf course for Tony Finau, you would make it long. You would make it wide open off the tee, which, you know, there's obviously water lurking, but it's gigantic fairways. And it, if it's going to be calm out there, Tony Finau should be able to also be one of those guys that you just rely on to click and forget it for Rainmaker's purposes. His cards aren't that cost prohibitive. He's sitting right around $20 for the core contest stuff. I mean, do we click on Tony Finau as an addition for this too?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point too with the Rainmaker stuff. Like, Finau's cards aren't like, I mean, again, he's a plus 800 favorite. I mean, most weeks, like, this would be a short favorite having a guy at plus 800. He's the second, but he's second in odds. He's not getting as much heat, right? I think it is a good week to go out and get him. And like you said, I mean, he was second here last season and he lost strokes putting. I mean, even from a betting perspective, I actually don't even really hate the number on Tony Finau this week. Where has he won? His last couple of wins came in big expansive golf courses where they're easy to hit fairways. You can smash driver against weaker fields. It's exactly what we're getting this week. It's just John Rahm is here. So, you know, I think Finau is the kind of player who could take on John Rahm for four rounds. Long term, obviously, I mean, there's no comparison. But yeah, I do not hate going after Finau in Rainmakers, betting, whatever you're doing this week. Like I said, I think using the two of them may even just give you like a more unique build regardless of what you're doing. So
yeah, it's really hard to get away from those two pieces specifically. If you're building out one lineup, I would find some kind of capacity. I mean, if you're planning on playing all year long, like, you know, like Jeff, myself, playing in the Rainmaker streets, playing PGA DFS every single week, there's really no reason that you wouldn't click on Rahm and Finau if you have Rahm and Finau. You're just playing them in every single lineup you possibly could. You could probably invest in, you know, Rahm, even at $35, I find that to be pretty cheap for what this field is. And, you know, coming off a Masters win, he's won three times already this season. He's number one player in the world now. It's such a no-brainer spot here to be playing him. And then Finau, I think, coming along for the ride. But then it gets a little bit wide open. We've had Wyndham Clark coming off of some really nice finishes start to get steamed up here. This seems like a golf course that will also fit his skill set. Just go out, bomb it, play well. Again, current form, kind of a big deal. Then you move down the board. I mean, it becomes Andrew Putnam, who's the next in terms of fantasy points per tournament. It just opens up so wide here. Is Wyndham Clark also somebody on your radar? And then what's that next tier of player we should be looking at investing in for Rainmakers?
Yeah, so, I mean, Clark is kind of interesting. I mean, I feel like Clark, this is probably, it feels like a good setup for him, but at the same time, like, I mean, coming off the you know, being in contention last week, and with some of the names behind him as well, like, Clark is the guy getting steam because he's played well. Everyone knows he's playing well. They just saw him, but I mean, we've got guys like McNealy, Woodland, Hogarth, even Patrick Rogers, who's a very comparable player. They're all playing well. And I think they're just all going to be easier to get to and easier to pick up in Rainmakers this week. You know, Patrick Rogers on the screen there, gaining strokes on approach, like, big time his last couple starts. He was top 10 at this event last season. Wyndham Clark was 67th. Wyndham Clark's taken a big step up. I mean, I like the way he's played a lot. I've certainly ridden him in a few events, but I actually kind of think this is a good spot to stay away from Wyndham Clark. I think his cards, especially in Rainmakers, are going to be a little bit more expensive. And I would, after Finau, I just feel like there's such a big gap down to this next tier of player where this is where you need to start looking for value. Sure, you can go up and get Finau or Rahm or whatever, but after that, I think you need to be more value conscious. I think Clark may end up being a guy I just almost completely fade this week.
Somebody just sniped him for $10. That's annoying. Because it says $10 on the screen. And I was like, oh, I got to buy that because he was at $13 earlier. Yeah. Oh, alas, he's gone. What's also tilting is I had like a pretty low serial number rare that I sold last week coming into the tournament, ended up allocating the funds across the board. And now this week, of course, he's playing. I thought maybe there was a chance, you know, they get the W, maybe he ends up not going. And then yeah, it becomes Davis Riley, who's not playing. So wild stuff there. Again, you want to be paying attention to the schedules of these players. That's almost that is its own game in itself here for Rainmakers, making sure that you know, when you have alternate field stuff, like we're going to have the Barracuda coming up where there's going to be the Open Championship and that going on simultaneously. And one's going to have a lot of cheat cards here of late. If you can guess right, or, you know, have them not win a tournament to get over to the Open Championship, you're going to be sitting very, very nicely. But that's a conversation for a different day. I want to focus here on this tournament. There were a couple of names you brought up there. Gary Woodland is one. I think that that's somebody that just kind of fits the mold of this golf course as well. Nicolai Højgaard, there's not a card available of. Oh, that's kind of a bummer. That was somebody that I'm definitely going to be playing in DFS formats. But what do you think about guys who just got done playing well at the Zurich Classic here? It's so hard to know what that form is, but Bo Hostler was partners there with Wyndham Clark. I liked what I saw from that team overall, put themselves in contention. How do we feel about a Bo Hostler who's way cheaper than his partner from last week?
Yeah, and I think this is a great example. Like, I think everyone's kind of going to be focusing on Wyndham Clark. He's the guy with the shorter odds. But, like, for Rainmakers, I like going to Bo Hostler. I know it's the same argument. Oh, he's just in contention, Jeff. But, like, again, once you get past Finau, I think for me it's just about looking for value. I think you're getting actually pretty solid value with Hostler. You know, just looking his I always forget the his rare card, excuse me. You know, you can find it for like under $15 right now. A core card, $350. I mean, like, actually way cheaper than that. Sorry, under $3. So it's a player you can go and pick up for cheap right now. And I mean, again, if we're getting a non-John Rahm winner, Bo Hostler, or if we're getting a non-Rahm or Finau winner, like, Bo Hostler fits in terms of talent to me with most of the players that, like, under that, those top two players. So this is a player I would actively be looking for sure. I think you're just going to be getting him for so much cheaper than a guy like Wyndham Clark as well. So absolutely, I think a player who, like, for Rainmakers makes a lot of sense this week for sure.
We have breaking news on the show. Colin Morikawa going to be playing next week at the Wells Fargo. He had announced earlier he was going to be skipping three tournaments in a row. Can we go to the shop quick? This is kind of an interesting part of playing Rainmakers is, again, I just talked about reacting to the schedule, and there were a lot of cheap cards of Colin Morikawa coming off of this week where people devalued him and delisted him because they didn't expect him to be playing here coming up. And now we're going to get him in a Wells Fargo field, which is no pushover by any means, but that is an extra tournament of utility where you were not expecting it. What do you think about a $12.50 Colin Morikawa core that I just bought?
I think I'm going to be looking for Colin Morikawa cards right after this. Yeah. I mean, again, if you're new to Rainmakers or you're just doing it, I mean, part of the, you know, you're basically managing your team, you're managing your cards, and your cards have different utility week in, week out. And again, like, it, we're all kind of talk about sports betting a lot and reacting to odds. You need to, if you're into Rainmakers, start thinking about reacting to news like this. You know, like, if a guy comes up and he's taking a break, or if he comes back, get on him quicker. Colin Morikawa is a fantastic buy right now. I was kind of surprised when he was taking three events off. Clearly he doesn't want to do that because the PGA is coming up.
Well, not only that, but yeah, his form hasn't been great. I mean, he comes off a miscut, and it was primarily him, from what I understand, that didn't play as well as Homa.
I'm not shocked to hear that. I mean, Max Homa's been in pretty solid form all season. So I think that Morikawa is a fantastic buy right now. You're going to have a player who is, you know, top five potential at every major. Clearly is also just searching for a win. I mean, like, I think you're going to see Colin Morikawa busy this summer. Like, I don't think he's not going to take the Rory approach and not play skip every weaker field event. I think Morikawa at some point is going to go after some of these weaker fields and just try and get that W. So I think he's a great pickup right now.
Yep. $12.50. Just got one really, really quick. Now the low is $14. I'm very curious to see where that ends up. I bet I made $5 minimum there. Thought about buying some of these boosters, some of the rare cards here. Seems as though those are pretty efficient for the most part. Again, I've been playing a lot of the rare and core. That's kind of primarily where I'm sitting. I think there's a little bit of value looking at the elite contest, getting to two pieces under $600 with as much of the schedule as there is left. But yeah, getting an extra tournament of utility for him next week, gigantic deal, unless he just goes out and plays like garbage, in which case, congratulations to us. We fooled ourselves. Let's jump to the Mexico Open once more, shall we? This is going to be fun. Is there anybody super cheap? Or we're talking like long shots. I've got a guy in Higo that we'll talk about maybe in a second, but do you have a flyer that you're looking at that we could maybe find on the cheap for Rainmakers this week?
Yeah, for sure. I got to make sure, just one thing here. Where are we? Yeah, no, not Matthias Schwab. Matty Schmidt, sorry. Yep. I didn't look up his price before. But yeah, I like Matty Schmidt as like someone really cheap. This is a big hitter who, again, we've seen from Matthias Schmidt, you know, in his time on tour, he can pop up at some of these weaker field events. He's in the lead in Bermuda after three rounds. He's T6 at the Amex. He's a big hitter. He can really get it out there. He is complete boom or bust, but I kind of like picking him up. Like you mentioned later in the season, when we hit the summer, you know, like Detroit, TPC Twin Lakes, the Barracuda, Matty Schmidt is going to be a player who you can just, like, he's got upside at these venues, man. I mean, he really does. And I think this week is a great spot for him too. He's under a dollar, I'm seeing. But yeah, Matty Schmidt is a player I bet, you know, with like an each way to the to like a top eight. So I like that. And then, you know, if you can get Batia this week, I mean, you know, another player who has some utility. Although, actually, wait, do we have a Batia?
Yeah, I don't think he has a card.
No, he doesn't have a card. I know. So
that's again, okay. I think it's a good shout out for DFS for sure.
Well, this is the trouble with playing like five different formats. You forget who is available.
But, yeah, Matty Schmidt, you're one and done. Available. You're set with that. And then your other. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I know I picked up this card earlier in the week, but Matty Schmidt is definitely a guy I would look to this week for a cheap one.
Yeah, that's a good shout out. That's not somebody who's on my radar at all. Going to be snagging a couple of those because Jeff, I find him to be pretty sharp in the old golf streets. Garrick Hago is going to be a bet of mine. He's also going to be somebody that I pretty clearly have been on in a way that I didn't expect coming into this year. He came out of the gate running, won like his first event he played over here in America in a weaker field event. But since then, it's been rough sailing until he figured out the driver in a pretty prominent way this year. I don't think it's just straight up bomber, but I mean, you just kind of go out there and place it in play for Garrick Hago. I think he's got a better around the green game than he's shown in the last year. And just starting to see him put himself in the mix at some of these weaker field events, I think that's what you need for some of these younger guys. That Honda had a terrible Sunday that shot him out of contention. Players 44th. Again, just kind of meandering there because the irons have had some really weak weeks. Lost 5.3 at the Heritage. That's absurd to still finish top 50 in a golf tournament, losing 5.3 on like a dart golf course, like what Hilton Head is. So I like what we're seeing with the driver for him. The around the green game has been positive every single tournament since the waste management. That's usually the forte. That's what he was kind of known for coming out of Europe, was his short game acumen. So I like getting to Hago with the driver game we've seen of late.
Yeah, I think Hago is another good cheap pickup for these kind of events. Again, player you're going to see a lot in the summer. He's just always live for a win, I think, in these weaker fields. I mean, it's pretty much the exact scenario when he came to that Palmetto Championship. I mean, he can just get it done. He's got a lead upside in a couple different facets of the game. So I like that. One other player I wanted to throw out, I'm for some reason having trouble finding his core cards, but Dylan Wu, I think is just a player who's not, I thought he'd get more steam this week. Like he's not very expensive in like the regular traditional format, but he's got a good tee to green game. You know, the other facets around the green putters kind of comes and goes, but he's been really consistent. I would not be shocked if he gets in the mix for one of these weaker field events eventually too. So I think he's a really good pickup as well.
Yeah. How about his namesake, Brandon Wu? How about that? We could get to a little woo, 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 Brandon Wu, have the D2 Mighty Ducks run back. Just the woo and woo, all of it.
You can just pick up a Siwoo Kim card this week, and then when they all play, you can just have the woo stack. I mean,
oh my God, that'd be so fun. I'm ready to just, that would be a woo, woo, little Ric Flair action. It's over and over again. It's beautiful. Let's kind of round out what we're looking at here for Rainmakers. Again, you can sign up in the video description box below. Click on the link. Get yourself this free starter pack. There's no reason that you wouldn't do it. And then I love getting into this single entry contest. And as I've been building, I have Rom. That's who I had built my starter pack around. He's going to be my captain. Oh, captain, my captain. That's pretty clear cut. I also picked up some Finaus, so I'm going to be firing him up this week. But if you had to pick one player to be your third player in, so we're talking like if you're building a lineup without Rom and Finau and you're trying to get contrarian, who would that player be this week?
I am going to go with...
Because Wyndham Clark feels so popular for me, and Benny Ahn, I get that he's up there, but like that one feels a little bit thin to me as well.
Sorry, I'm searching in the wrong spot. I'm going to go with Grillo.
Love it.
I really like Emiliano Grillo this week. Paspalum Greens has been a friend to him. He's played well in Mexico before. He's got a bunch of top 15s at the OHL Classic. I think Grillo is a little bit under the radar this week. I just want to bring up his price before I mention him. But, I mean, again, under $5. What have we seen from Grillo in spots like this? He had a run of top fives last season. Again, the weaker fields, man. I think this is a great spot for him. I really like him for Rainmakers, too. Again, like, you're getting him in that Bo Hosler range. I mean, He is just as good as pretty much anyone under Finau or Rom. Yes, he's a little bit streaky with the putter, but he putted well at the RBC. His around the green game was good there. I think it's a real shot for Grillo to pop up, and I really like him, especially looking at these prices that I have up now.
I also kind of have the disgusting idea that I'm kind of playing with, because again, in the core contest, you can build out a pretty cheap lineup for around $5-6 if you're not going to be playing Rom, Finau, or Wyndham Clark. And I'm thinking about putting together just an extraordinary bomb stack, and there's nobody that I want to start a bomb stack off with more than Luke List. Are we looking at Luke List, perhaps, as somebody who could come from the absolute clouds? I mean, the Farmers, different type of greens for sure, but again, a longer type golf course, something where you just go out and hitting at 320 is truly something that just flat out matters at a golf course like this. I mean, I'm considering it. Are you?
Yeah. Look, if you're making a lineup without Rom and Finau, you need to go, like, you can't be like pussyfooting it around and going for like three guys are going to get you T30, right?
Tell me how you really feel, Jeff.
I mean, you got to go for it. Like, Luke List is a winner. He won on Torrey Pines, another long golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Go after Luke List. Taylor Pendrith is kind of interesting for the similar reason, right? I mean, he can just launch it off the tee. These are big hitters, guys who can potentially, just if they get hot with the putter for a week, they're going to be able to hang on a golf course like this. I just don't have the belief in guys like Chez Reavy or, you know, my pal Michael Kim. I just don't think they have the length necessarily to hang with them. But if these guys' putter gets hot, you're not going to have to scramble too much. A guy like Luke List, and this is even grosser than Luke List, but Cameron Champ, who was actually in the mix at this event last season. I think he was T10.
Second. He was second going into Sunday. He was.
Yeah. He was right up there for a bit. Yeah, absolutely. I think he fell apart a bit on Sunday, which not shocking. But Cameron Champ won, what, three times on tour? If this guy's putter catches heat, I mean, he will be there. This is just the prototypical Cameron Champ course. Does not have to scramble much. Going to be hitting a ton of greens. So those are players I'd be looking at. Unfortunately, we don't have a Brandon Matthews card to get really wild.
I'd be all over that thing. I like guys who hit, what was it, the 8-iron he hit from 205 during the alternate shot last week. Right. I mean, just come on, dude.
Absurd.
Scary long. Also, his caddy. I know him, so that's kind of fun.
Oh, okay. Well,
just play some golf with his caddy. Also a stud golfer out here in Southern Cal, but that's a conversation for a different day. Does tell me Brandon Matthews hits ball far. So pretty straightforward. I would be playing and clicking on his name too if it were available in card format. Now, the inverse question as we round out the show. We talked about all the guys we want to play, all the guys we want to purchase. Are there any players that you see at the top of the board? I've got a couple that you think are overpriced coming into this week that you'd be refraining from building lineups with.
Yeah, so I mentioned Wyndham Clark right off the top. And again, I think that it's just, for me, it's just a talent thing. Like, once you get past Finau and Rom, you got to be really discerning. I just wanted, for Rainmakers, want to be looking at value. And I also think that, like, the setup here also has to come into play. Like, a guy like Aaron Rye, to me, I like Aaron Rye. I think that he is a player who could potentially break through. I'd like, on this kind of golf course, man, this guy does not hit it far. I just think he's going to be behind the eight ball on so many holes. I don't really love that. Another player I don't necessarily love going out and getting this week is because I feel like his prices will be up there. Will Gordon,
Yep.
I just like Will Gordon has spiked before. He's played well in Mexico, but I mean, his results are just kind of so meh that, you know, if he's going to be getting any heat or if his prices are going to be getting up or he's going to be hard to get, there's just so many better options out there. I mentioned Dylan Wu, you know, maybe getting to Higo even. I just trying to avoid those in those under Rom and Finau tiers, avoid the really popular players and go for the value. So I think Aaron Rye is a player I'll probably be avoiding. Even I hate to speak out against my guy Jager, but I'm not really sure that this is the week where I'd go out and pay up for him. You know, like if he can get a Steven Jager card, get him on the cheap, absolutely he's gonna be good going into the summer, but I don't think this is necessarily the week. I'd rather pay up for McNeely. I'd even rather pay up for like Patrick Rogers, I think, this week than Steven Jager.
I'm so there with you. The guy I had highlighted was Steven Jager going for $3 right now. I think that I would rather spend a dollar more, just get Benny on, who I think has an exponentially better chance on a golf course like this than I think Steven Jager. I don't want to say that he's not capable. I mean, he's got the around the green game as well to just kind of go out and maybe shoot some numbers. You get some of those Corn Ferry Tour guys. This is basically a glorified Corn Ferry Tour type golf course, or, you know, a European type setup with the slower, flatter greens and shoot 25 under and have some fun. But it is definitely hard for me to imagine that I would go up for Jager when I know he's going to be like a dollar next week. And I don't find him to be all that appealing here going into this week. Now, if he spikes a good week, awesome. You have a $3 Jager and maybe you competed in single entry there or in one of the core contests, but I still feel like his resale value isn't really going to be there. So if he doesn't do it this week at $3, I have a feeling he'll be on the cheap, kind of set up in another golf tournament where you could be getting him way cheaper. Hard to imagine that returning value. Whereas I still think a Will Gordon, like as apocalyptic as it is to like, you know, for other golf tournaments to have like an elite type player. I had an elite card of his. He was one of the guys that I pulled in my original approach packs for an elite card. But I mean, I felt bad about it then, but like this week, I'd much rather just pay $3 for him than $3 for Steven Jager.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that, you know, looking at like who's live, I mean, Gordon probably is far more live. He's way bigger off the tee. I mean, and I think this, the style of course, I mean, you mentioned the around the green game for Jager is so good, but it's not really going to come into play this week. So, or it's likely not going to. So yeah. I, you know, leaning distance this week, looking for guys with good, cheap distance is pretty much, you know, the approach I'm taking too.
Cameron Champ, Luke List. Let's go. Let's have
Martin
some fun.
Trainer. There's another one.
Hey, I don't mind that.
No, Matisse, I know.
You brought up Schmidt. Better. Schmidt is top five in driving distance in this field.
Schmidt can really get it out there. Yeah. I mean, if you're, there's no Brandon Matthews, but yeah, Matisse Schmidt, he can really get it out there. So
I got to just check Kyle Westmoreland too. 50 cents for Kyle Westmoreland. I'm a sick person.
Sick.
I'm
going to stop with Kyle Westmoreland.
Hey, he made a hole in one in Showdown for me one time at Torrey Pines. I'm a big fan.
Oh, that's why. I mean, okay. Yeah, you're just giving him the historical bump.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Just like I give my buddy, Mike Lawrence, historical bump. Lots of shows, lots of content. Appreciate you, my dude. Fantastic stuff here in the Rainmaker Streets. Again, starter pack below. Talked you through some of the players that we're targeting here, Jeff and myself. It's a lot of fun. The Fantasy Grind over on Twitter. Go check out my friend there. Any final words for the people, Jeff, as we get out of here for the Mexico Open?
No, I mean, again, it's just a week of, you know, polarizing week. I mean, either you're going to be taking shots against Rom and going up against them, or you're going to be just, you know, overweight him, putting him on your DFS and just, you know, seeing if you can maybe hit some lower owned guys to go along with them. So I think following the distance approach is something you want to do. You don't have to get over crazy with it. You don't only have to roster bombers, but definitely when you're looking down, you know, making sure that, you know, you're taking kind of the value approach and looking for lower owned players after you get past Finau and Rahm for sure.
Yeah. If you have John Rahm, you're playing John Rahm in Rainmakers. End of story.
Oh yeah.
Play him in everything. Slam dunk. I don't see any way around it. It's going to be fantastic, but hey, we can build out some cheapies. We can fade him in a couple lineups. That's going to be fun. Going to be really scary. Going to be very, very scary. But Jeff, thank you so much for filling in here this week. Fantastic to have you along. Check him out on Live Before Lock with Ben Raza every single Wednesday night here at Stochastic. Great stuff. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jeff. I'm Eric Lindquist. Thank you to DraftKings Rainmakers. We'll catch you guys next week.